Summer is almost here. Don't you want to go to the beach with thicker, gorgeous, beautiful locks? And everyone goes, hey, I love your hair. And you go, Nutrafol, baby. You know, something along that lines. Well, take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and you enter the promo code TSFS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. I recommend it. I've been taking Nutrafol for years. It's how I got my hair back thicker and not falling out in chunks after I had KJ. Now it's your turn. Nutrafol has been on with me for years, and that's because you all continue to buy, and it really works. I love it. Now it's your turn to love it, too. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, with the promo code TSFS. That's Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. Oh, Smooch. Yeah, Smooch, say that on the podcast. You think I'm perfect?
Are we recording right now?
We're recording, yes.
You're great. Yeah.
Okay, you better put on all the loving you give me off mic on this darn podcast.
We have started, right?
Yes.
Trying to tell you how to do your job.
Dan, don't you even. It's in the title. I go, Schman is returning, and then it's in the description. People know who you are. Fine.
Let's tell you how this talk show host thing works.
Oh my God, for God's sakes.
My guest today.
We're going to get into that. And people read the description, for God's sakes. All right, my husband, Dan, a.k.a. Schman, because this is so typical of him. After 5 years on the radio, where we used his real name, he came to me and he said, I'm not a public person. I don't really want to be out there in the public. So when Andrea Lopez Comedy co-hosted this show, we did Schmiggy and Schman. Her
who could crack that code.
Her boyfriend at the time was Iggy. We called him Schmiggy, and we had Schman. And then we talk about you as Schman, and people love the Schman stuff.
Well, I'm glad to be back, but when Howard Stern introduces Casey Musgraves today, or Jake Gyllenhaal on Wednesday, not to plug their show, or Jimmy Fallon's hosting so-and-so, it's not like they just don't have a guest appear and they start talking. You introduce, you promote it, you know?
Robin, okay? Every morning he doesn't say, oh, Robin's back. You know, you're like Bubba Booey. Every time he brings back Bubba Booey, he doesn't. Chris Wilding, who I love, who does the impression of Dr. Now. Not every time he goes, Chris Wilding impression.
At least you haven't made me a Whack Pack member, a Frasiac.
Well, my Frasiacs love being Frasiacs, and you are a Frasiac. Oh my God, you're wild about me.
I'm married to it, I guess. I'm the original one.
Okay. All right, so we have topics to cover today. We have been watching a documentary called Dynasty, mm-hmm. about the Patriots
the New England Patriots.
Yes. New England Patriots. We're going to talk about that. Should TikTok be banned? I believe it should. And also the disturbing mother-daughter TikTok account that people are hoping with the ban will finally go away. We'll talk about that. And then we took KJ to the eye doctor, and you did not really get along with her.
Nope.
So I want to know if people think how you reacted was appropriate or inappropriate. Where do you want to start?
You're the host.
Well, I like giving people our hot takes and commentary. So we watched Dynasty about, and I don't know, I guess AI is spying on us because we still have this thumbs up thing I can't seem to get rid of.
Whatever positive affirmation we get.
Somebody on Zoom likes us. So we watched Dynasty. How many parts was it?
10 episodes.
10 episodes on Apple TV,
mm-hmm.
about the Patriots dynasty from the early aughts. Up until Tom Brady left in 2020?
I think it was 19.
Or 2019.
Something around there.
So what did you think overall of this documentary? Would you recommend it?
Yes, I recommend it. But there are some qualifiers.
Okay, tell me.
First off, I think we are in a great era of documentaries.
Oh, the best.
Right. When you look at some of the sports documentaries that have been produced from ESPN 30 for 30.
Oh.
Netflix has one that had, you know, they had one about Monte Teo and
excellent, amazing.
Chris Jenner. And you know, the documentaries that are out are phenomenal. And
so good, in fact, as a fair weather sports fan, I'm super into them, and including Jimmy Kimmel, and in collaboration, right, with 30 for 30,
he did one about the Mets.
The Mets. Yep. It was so good. It was actually so good. I tweeted Lenny Dykstra on, and when I was on a plane to LA, and then I met Lenny Dykstra for drinks. And then he wanted to come back to my hotel room and do cocaine with me. And that's kind
and
of
see where the night took you. He just wanted to go back and hang out. Yeah.
And he said, no,
I love you, Nails. We love you.
Nails. And then Nails appeared on this podcast and he was very lovely, and he was not forceful, but you know, he just said, I could come back to your room and we could just sit and we could do cocaine.
Perfect gentleman.
Very nice. And I said, Nails, I have to pass. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, there have been some amazing documentaries. So
correct.
The point that as a non-sports fan, I enjoy them.
What a lot of these documentaries, and use The Last Dance about Michael Jordan in the final season with the Bulls.
So good.
A lot of these stories are being told, and when they occurred, social media didn't exist.
Right.
So I think access and some of the background was might have been known, but it was not well known, or it was you had to really do some digging. What I find fascinating about the Dynasty documentary is it all kind of occurred during the social media era, and and these are memories that are pretty recent, and you go back and see. So I enjoyed it. It touched on a lot. You probably could have done a 20-part series, given the breadth of that organization. But I enjoyed it. They had access to people, a guy like Ernie Adams, who's, you know, the man behind the curtain for Bill Belichick. The fact that he was so present on it is fascinating. He's the old guy with the mustache.
Yeah,
who drove
yeah.
the Volvo.
I didn't think it was that great. It's very biased.
Of course it's biased.
And it really doesn't. Bill Belichick reveals absolutely nothing new. In fact, you could probably count on four hands how many.
Well, I'm curious, as a, you know, as a casual sports fan, where do you see the bias? Because I have a few.
I don't believe it's, if you are not going to reveal how you truly felt about a person or a situation, or share in depth your side of the situation, you shouldn't be on a documentary.
Wow.
And
shots
he did
fired.
Not get into Deflategate. He refused to go into detail. He did not get into the videotaping controversy. He refused that. He did not get into any detail whatsoever about where the breakdown was with he and Tom. It's so strategically done to, and I love Tom Brady. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. And when you watch this documentary, it's even more amazing what Tom got done, because they make it sound like Bill Belichick was an absolute tyrant, a douche. Danny Amendola is the most compelling person on this documentary, because Danny Amendola takes a shot at Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick. And Wes Welker is also the other best person on this, because they do touch on, which of course he's dead, so of that, like, they dove into Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
That part was compelling. And Wes Welker was the most interesting person. And Wes Welker said from the beginning, this kid was mentally ill. He was a nut job. Mm-hmm. He would say the most inappropriate sexual things in the locker room. He warned other guys, stay away from this fucking dude. And Bill Belichick thought it was great. And he was the most compelling. They brush over Tom. Tom doesn't say anything about him. I mean, it's just so biased.
Well, I will say this is where I find. So I do not trust you. You have to mistrust any documentary where the producer is also the subject, right? So even with The Last Dance, Michael Jordan is the one who was driving that production. So of course, Michael Jordan is going to look good in that. The documentary.
I felt like that Michael Jordan documentary, though, at least it got more into Scottie Pippen
and it got into
the gambling.
But if you go in, if you hear some of the other players from that era talk outside of that documentary, they have other opinions. So with the Dynasty documentary, Robert Kraft was a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he claims that he was a producer because he owns the footage, the background, you know, the archival footage, and did not want to give it to Apple for them to own. So he became an executive producer, but was hands off with any of the content. I find that to be probably false.
Okay.
Because even though I think Bill Belichick is single-minded as a football coach bent on winning. I think they underplayed some of his success. You know, in one of the last episodes, they talk about the masterclass he had in the Super Bowl against the Rams, how he completely revamped his defense in order to counter that. There are so many examples of him coaching through those years with the Patriots, like masterclass coaching things. Just recently, like a year or two ago, they were playing against Buffalo in Buffalo, and it was like a snowstorm, and I think they threw the ball 3 times and ran the ball 40 times, and they ended up winning and upsetting the Bills at home. And it was just one of these masterclasses of coaching. You look at what he's done, you look at his coaching tree, because he's had a lot of assistants who've gone on to be head coaches. They've all failed.
They don't touch on that at all.
And you look at other coaches, and I think they've had some more success. So in terms of their coaching tree and its branches. So is that a failure in terms of Belichick being able to produce good quality coaches, or is it just show you how good he was in terms of how he managed? I think there were so many other little funny moments that have been that were not included, but I feel like I'll use the Guerrero, Tom Brady's trainer.
Oh yeah. I liked Alex Guerrero stuff.
That story. It was pitched or presented as Tom's got this guy. He's doing wonders for Tom. He's doing wonders for other players, and Belichick doesn't want him around the locker room. Okay. Of course you don't want him around the locker room. He's undermining your staff as like your the training staff that you pay millions of dollars to care for the 53 players plus the practice team players. Like, yeah, you don't want competing interest in that. So I get it, but it made it seem like it was out of jealousy, where Tommy needed this and Tommy wanted that. I'm sure the truth is somewhere in between. I mean, Belichick is a madman, but I don't think Brady and Kraft are perfect angels in this either. And this thing about when Belichick would rip Brady during film. Well, he rips everyone, and it's important that you show everyone in the locker room that they're part of that they're accountable. So if the moment Tom Brady gets any preferential treatment in that moment is the moment he stops having the respect of his teammates. So these sort of things, I feel like it was painted toward. Now, again, is Bill Belichick a madman? Yes. But was he that evil, that bad? I don't necessarily think so.
I say skip it, unless you're a huge diehard Pats fan. I didn't think it was all that revealing. I really didn't.
Well,
there
was a lot.
You thought it was very genius. Okay, well, but again, I'm a fair weather sports fan. And like I said, I wanted to hear more about, to your point, more about the genius of Bill Belichick, because it's really more about Bill being just so regimented and so difficult that the guys really played for Tom, and then eventually they've all gotten tired of Bill, sure, including Bob Kraft. And so it really doesn't touch on.
Winning cures all ills. Yeah. And then once you stop winning, that's it.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can watch it on 10-part series on
Apple TV. Apple Plus or Apple TV, whatever they call it.
Okay. I want to talk to Wes Welker or Danny Amendola. I feel like they're the most fascinating. I would love to. Wes Welker to me had the most, I thought, to say about all of them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I guess one last thing. Do you think, well, it doesn't really matter, but do you think Bill Belichick will ever get hired again by another team?
He's too old. And you look at the NFL coaches who are getting hired now, they're all in their 30s and 40s. They're all part of a new generation of coaches.
Yeah, a different mindset.
You know, Belichick will have some job offer, like Peyton Manning's trying to get him on his production team. If he wants to be a commentator or a pundit, he will have his opportunity to do so.
Well, he's going to have a lot more personality. I mean, where is it?
What, it's there.
It is.
It's there. He
hides it well.
One of the most epic press conferences he had, and I think it was during the Deflategate suspension. Was he was being asked questions. The Patriots, but right before Brady came back in, I think it was right around then, were 2-2. And he was getting asked all these questions, and his answers was always, "We're on to Cincinnati."
Oh yeah.
Like, what about this coach? We're on to Cincinnati. And he just kept saying we're on to Cincinnati. And it was just, I mean, he was like, I'm not giving you guys anything. But he will, he, I think if you, I'm sure he would be, you get him talking about something that he's passionate about.
I'm waiting to hear it. I've always been a Belichick fan.
One reporter at like a media day asked him about some obscure like punter, and he went on 5 minutes about talking about this punter.
Wow, that would be a riveting conversation because you don't get that out of him. And also, it's portrayed in the documentary that Tom Brady did not know about, Deflategate. Do you hear that? That is the sound of the brand new and delicious You Natural Conception for her in their juicy strawberry gummy flavored. Oh my, this is now my favorite thing to take. It's a fertility aid. If you haven't heard about them, they are unbelievable with thousands of five-star reviews on Amazon. Go and read them for yourself. And they're famous for their Conception for Her and Conception for Him formula, which Schman, my hubby, has been taking for over a month because it takes two to tango. Conception for Her fertility aid is well-researched, baby. They have ingredients like ashwagandha, zinc, magnesium that can help you on that journey to have a healthy baby. So what are you waiting for? Go and order now. You're going to love it, and I want to hear from you. Check out You Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle with the promo code FRASER20. That's FRASER, the numbers 20. Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at HERO.CO. 10 years ago, I lost 60 pounds mindful eating, and today I have kept the weight off. I never think about food. I never count calories. Honey, I don't even use one of those darn trackers or apps. I live with food freedom, and I want that for you if you are ready and you want it. And that's where My Optimal Body comes into play. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment, and be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment, plus a bonus free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for a customized plan. That is myoptimalbody.com to request an appointment. Why I wanted to partner with Dr. Applin is because he is a doctor that gets to the cellular and gut reason of why you can't lose weight and keep it off. They also work with your mental capacity as well. So many of us are emotional eaters. They address that, and their clients see long-term success. If you are ready to lose weight, keep it off, and you don't want to do crazy Ozempic, myoptimalbody.com and tell them the Sarah Fraser Show sent you. They hold steadfast to that in the doc.
Yeah.
His family does, everyone, that he would not lie.
Well, he's
no, now I believe, but I feel like Tom Brady is a
every professional athlete is always looking for some level of edge, right? And it might be, you know, when you look at let's use professional soccer as an example. If I'm defending and I'm pulling on a guy's jersey, that's cheating. Right, I'm looking for an edge. One of my coaches growing up taught me how to put my knee into the back of a player's knee to put him on off balance, right? And that's technically illegal. Also taught me how to do a little nut tap on a defender to create separation for the player. My coach was the most penalized player in professional indoor soccer that year. So you learn all these things to gain edges. Of course, I mean, Brady wasn't sitting there doctoring the ball, but of course he's told the guys, this is what I like, and they're going to go do it. And he was 100% wise not to turn his phone over. That would have been the dumbest thing to do, is because, you know, once that phone is out, it's whatever is on, it's going to be late. So I don't blame him for not being forthcoming, but come on, Tommy, you're no angel.
Tommy. All right. What do you make of TikTok being banned? A bipartisan ban from our lovely Congress and Senate people. They are all gung-ho on this. Do you think TikTok needs to go away for national security
sake? Just to confirm, it's the House that passed it.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly. You. And I believe it is now being discussed at the Senate.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
No problem. I read, I get the topics and I want to be an informed guest on the Sarah Fraser Show.
Well, I appreciate it. And that's one of the feedbacks I get.
I get introduced as a guest.
People are like you. Okay.
I believe that social media, this is going to be a hot take, so sit down for this.
Wow.
Social media is equivalent to cigarettes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s in the sense of the harm.
Really?
Yes, the harm that, I mean, look at the, anyone, there are reports, there are studies, there are interviews with so many different individuals who have been involved in social media. There's that one guy, I looked him up. I forgot his name. He's the ginger who used to work for Google. And then he's been on a bunch of the documentaries.
Oh,
and,
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's got that weird name.
He's always on Bill Maher. Yeah. I know. He's kind of a...
How many people do we have to come forward to say social media is tapping into the part of your brain that elicits responses like gambling and addictions and that, and how, every now and then Facebook will ping me. Because I use it for work purposes, but I'll get an email or a message, hey, so-and-so's posted this. And it's like, because they want you to
engage. They're trying to lure you back.
And look. And so, it's the old adage, if it's not or if it's free, then you're the product. So all of these things, all of these platforms are trying to get us to give them our eyes and ears and attention. So that's the negative thing about social media. There's certainly positive things too, but it's all got to be done with moderation. With TikTok, TikTok's a problem because it is you sit down with your conspiracy hat on.
Put it on. It's owned by ByteDance, and ByteDance says that they've taken a ton of precautions to protect I agree. Keep going.
So the TikTok is, I'm sure there are some precautions that are in place, but China's version of TikTok is different than America's version of TikTok.
Correct.
And now also their Chinese government has different, far fewer freedoms afforded to its citizens than the United States. So that might be part of it. But when you look at what the algorithm is feeding people on TikTok, it's feeding the worst things in people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our division.
Yep. So is that designed and intended by China?
Yes.
Well, maybe it is, and that's a problem. If it's not, well, it's still a byproduct of what's happening, and it's catering to the worst parts of our brain and society. So
I'm all for it.
Where people might say this is an issue of freedom of expression. I don't think it is. It's a platform.
People say it's freedom of speech.
I can still do my freedom of speech, but I just don't need to do it through TikTok. I look at it this way. Like, look at cigarettes. Should I be able to smoke a cigarette if I want to?
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
If you're over the age of 18, yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. But what the tobacco industry did or previously did had to be regulated. And I think I look at this the same way with social media. It can still exist, but we have to look at the harm that it's doing. Yeah, hot take.
What do you make of, our representatives and Congress and the Senate cannot get a bill passed for border control?
Don't get me started right now on that.
Well, that's people's point is like, how is it that they can come together and they can clearly get TikTok banned?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I do think people are not realizing the whole national security of this entire thing. I think 100%, even though Xu is the CEO and has been in front of Congress and testified and says, oh, no. You know, I mean, every company is owned by the Chinese government. You know, they have to answer. Sure. So there's just, I just don't believe for one second they're not stealing and spying.
Any data or anything you put out should just be, you should just assume someone else has it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're putting information out through our social media, it's going to be accessible. Why, you know, we have credit card account hacks all the time, right?
Compromised all the time, yeah.
And you know, we refuse to look at lessons learned. So think back to the Sony hack, right?
That was
crazy. And when that occurred, and I won't say who shared this information with me because I don't know how, you know, how in depth the conversation was, but someone who I know who was involved in security, computer security, was asked by his boss, "Hey, how could this happen with us, or how concerned should we be?" And he said, "All it would take is malicious software on a thumb drive. Someone to put the thumb drive in a cafeteria at the office, and someone would be like, "Ooh, free thumb drive," and put it in their computer, and then that's it."
Yeah.
Right. So this sort of stuff is going to happen, and everyone needs to be more cautious. How our Congress and leaders in Washington got together to do it, I think this element is non-political, whereas things like the border, no one wants to give the Republican majority does not want to give President Biden a win before the election. So they will do everything they can because this is an issue they are going to run on.
Okay, so that's why, because that's what people bring up, and they bring up, you know, inflation. They can't seem to do anything about inflation. They can't do anything about the border. And yet, you know, it's insane to buy a house, but yet they can come together on this. Yeah. I mean, I do think this is an important issue. However, a lot of people are saying a lot of these House of Representative and Congress people own stock in Meta, you know, because they're allowed to own all these stocks and do basically insider trading. And they, well, not,
there are rules and regulations, but they're skirted all the time.
Right, right. And so a lot of people feel like Mark Zuckerberg and some of these other big tech, they're rooting for this. And these our representatives are making a ton of money by trading stock. But I mean, I guess that's just part of the game, right? It is legal for them to
call the swamp for a reason.
They call it the swamp for a reason. So one of the reasons, though, have you seen this? Did you look at this disturbing Ren and Jacqueline mom daughter?
I did
not.
You told me about it, and I did not want to go into that.
It's so disturbing. So there is this movement on TikTok to have it banned because there is a mom. Ren and Jacqueline is the account. I find it so gross. And she has millions of followers, but she puts her four-year-old daughter on the videos eating with her mouth open with like dick shaped items toward her 4-year old daughter's mouth. She turns the comments off, but she's making thousands of dollars off like almost child like
terrible. This
pictures. People are calling for this woman.
She should be. And this is where they when one owns a platform, they have to be responsible for the content that is produced on that platform. It's one of the reasons you and I always go back and forth about your boy Joe Rogan, and no free plugs, but you know he has a big podcast apparently.
He brings in
quacks, and he gives them a platform, and I don't particularly care for it because there is a responsibility when you have a platform, and TikTok is a platform, to regulate what's being put out there, and this sort of thing is disturbing. This individual should have child protective services called on her. Someone should smack the crap out of her. Cause this is awful.
It's so disturbing. In fact, even a former FBI agent has weighed in on the Ren and Jacqueline controversy. It's just, you know, a lot of people are calling for why there does need to be some regulation because this child focused content doesn't belong on social media in any capacity, regardless of the circumstances. The dangers of posting your children on social media. One glaring issue about the family vlogging that is not talked about enough is that it makes children vulnerable to predators. Platforms like YouTube and TikTok are known to have a predator problem. A report from the New York Times found predators would post cryptic comments on family vlogs to alert other predators about the content. Even more disturbing research has found that YouTube algorithm caters to predators, as those searching for sexual content will often be recommended videos of children. Oh my God. It is. Anyway,
I don't think there's much debate here.
I know there's not, but that's one, that video, a lot of people are making videos saying if TikTok is banned and that will shut down this awful mother, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, I do not think that Joe Rogan, has quacks on. He has a lot of legitimate people. Yes. You just don't know. You've bought into the bananasness of, you know, you want to hear one side only.
Let's stay on the agenda.
You unfortunately, you drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Okay. You do. Who cares?
Tune into my
Well,
podcast.
let's hear it, because if your side is so correct, aren't you? Shouldn't you be willing to debate anyone? Shouldn't you be willing to hear all sides?
No,
If your
not
if
all
yours is
sides.
so right.
But anyways, go on.
Okay. Well, anyway, Joe, I'm looking forward to being on your show, and I hope you come on mine. I love Rogan and Tim Dillon. How ironic! I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of, are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcast, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. Want your life back? Order Hungry Root. It's actually as simple as that. Truly, Hungry Root is the best meal kit service I have ever worked with because they have meals that take 12 minutes. Guys, if you are a busy mom like I am, KJ now just started swim lessons. And on the night that he has swim lessons, we're not home until 6. I'm trying to make dinner, trying to get him rested and down for bedtime. When I see that number 12 and I know in 12 minutes I can have a healthy meal, I'm turned on. All right. You will be too. Hungry Root's website, so easy to use as well. You just go, you can type in a type of cuisine, or if you like chicken, or you can do preset where you tell them you're vegetarian, keto, or you're a meat lover. Right now, get 40% off. My listeners are getting 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/TSFS and get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/TSFS. Don't forget to use my link so they know who sent you and get 40% off right now and free veggies for life.
Okay.
All right. Well, speaking, let's stay on politics and pop and topics that people are talking about. Bernie Sanders wants to introduce a 4-day work week. I don't even know. I don't even really want to get started on this because it's never going to pass. People that are political experts are saying not even in this lifetime, maybe KJ's generation, but he wants to go down to 32-hour work week. Mm-hmm. In other countries, this has been experimented with and does sometimes work. And there are states that are giving companies incentives to have employees work 32-hour work week. What do you think?
I'm all for it. All for it. Workers of the world unite.
We're built on capitalism. Like, what do you want? They've raised the minimum wage. I mean, what else do you like? What are you going to get to the point? Small business cannot. It's like, to me, it's like, of course, you know, Jeff Bezos can survive this, but like,
let's talk about let's have some context to this, and that both you and I do not have traditional jobs where we're working 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 Monday.
No, but we have had it.
And there are some jobs where a 32-hour work week will not suffice. Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe it's, you know, and you already look at like doctors and nurses, they have different schedules.
Sure.
Like when we're talking about, I'll use some of my friends who are corporate drones, right? They are working Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
How much of their time is spent inefficiently?
Well, I can give you Fox 5 as my example.
Sure.
I'm very grateful for my 13 years at Fox 5. I adore them. But when we had to go in before the pandemic, I would do an 8-hour shift because we do podcasts. 4.5 was talking,
yeah.
Was gossiping with everybody. People,
there are times where it's like, oh, I'm going to go, I'm going to take a 2-hour lunch. Or when I worked briefly in politics and it was a quiet time, I went over to my buddy. This was when we actually, my buddy was the photographer in the office and he had a dark room. And if like we had nothing going on, I'd just go in the dark room and take a nap. All right. These are, and I was getting paid for it because, yeah. But there was nothing going on. So in that sense, stripping away all of that non-work minutia that people have would make people more efficient, more happy. I think the other thing that's coming, there are two other factors here. One is now that offices and corporations are trying to get people back in the office, I think this is a pretty fair compromise because most people, once they started going remote, did not want to go back into the office. So this will help make it a little more flexible. And again, if you know you have 4 days to get your work done, you get an extra day off, then you're going to be probably more efficient to get your stuff done.
I just think there's so many good companies now that offer amazing perks, offer amazing, you know, I don't know. And to me, it's like small businesses need the option to have people work a 5 day work week,
I think if you're working at the flower shop down the street, you might not be putting in 32 hours because you're at sales or you're working in the stock room. These might not be the jobs that necessarily apply to it.
Why do you think Bernie Sanders is doing this? You have a background in politics. A lot of these senators and stuff, they seem to like sometimes just, I don't know, propose these stupid things. Is there like a mandate they suppose? Well, we live in a capital.
Bernie Sanders.
I was a Bernie Sanders supporter in 2016 over Hillary Clinton. But now I'm like, I like some of the things, but I mean, he also wants to tax people 50%. It's bananas. I mean,
workers' rights have continued to erode over the last 3 or 4 decades, right? When you look at what union membership was in the 50s and 60s and the gradual recession of those rights. And this is why there are more strikes that take place. This is why you're seeing a resurgence to this, because the unions used to advocate, or the unions had power and would advocate. Now the unions were also probably corrupt, but they advocated for their workers. And now workers don't have the same unified approach that they did half a century ago. So these are the types of things where people who are quietly quitting, right? Mm-hmm. This is a response to, hey, I'm being asked to work more. I'm being asked to stay more connected when I'm not on the clock. I think these are all the natural responses. And I love Bernie. He's a whack job in some regards, but
feel the burn.
But capitalism is not a zero sum game. We should be adopting a capitalistic approach where rising tides lift all boats. How about that for a rhyme? But I think oftentimes individuals in that lower or middle rungs are being ignored.
So I'm a pro-union feel the
burn.
Gal.
Feel the burn.
I'm a union member. Mm-hmm. You know, thank God for SAG-AFTRA giving me so many things.
Absolutely.
I'm 100% grateful for them. But I just think he, like, come on, dude.
I'm with you, Byrne, on this one at least.
All right. Lastly, we took KJ to the eye doctor, and I'm curious if people have ever experienced this. So we thought KJ in pictures has one eye sometimes that sort of turns in. I thought that KJ has an eye that kind of turns in sometimes in photos. By the way, KJ has an extra tooth in the front, which is very disturbing to me. I'm very upset. A listener noticed that. They're like, I think he has an extra front tooth. Took him to the dentist immediately. They were like, yes. Not that uncommon. Hopefully he doesn't have a permanent tooth underneath it and it will fall out as a baby tooth and that's it. Some kids just can have extra teeth, right? Or missing teeth. So anyway, I thought maybe his eye turned in. We take him to an eye specialist here in Beverly Hills, and the woman was a little quirky when we walked in. Mm-hmm. And she comes right in and she's like, got things in his face. She's trying to look at his eyes. And she says to me, hold him in the chair, and I'm going to look. And so he's melting down, right? And so you start.
Well, hold on. Here's what. First off, she was, you know, 10 or 15 minutes late, which is.
Oh, well, welcome to Los Angeles.
Started on this.
How Bernie Sanders introduced that fucking bill.
Make How about that?
On time in California.
There you go.
This place is atrocious.
You listening, Newsom?
Zero. Yes. Nobody here. I don't give a shit. Everybody is late. Mm-hmm. Everyone. They don't give a fuck if you're bleeding out. They don't care. Everyone like strolls in. Oh, so sorry. And everybody says that to you everywhere you go. I'm so sorry. I'm late.
That's a whole other topic.
Sorry, I'm late.
So anyway, she was late and she has to do a battery of tests on him and he's melting down, of course. So he's dead. So I grab him and try to settle him down. She tries to do a test. And so I hand him over to you and he's melting down. And so I go to reach for him to settle him down because clearly she can't get what she needs out of this. And as I reach, she's standing in front of me. She smacks my hand out of the way.
Smack it. She swatted it. She was, okay. she was pushing down your
it was
hand.
A, while it looking, was a heavy swat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh boy. That fired up.
That. Oof.
Oh boy. That Ooh. Did it.
Because here's my, so let's play both sides. I understand what she's trying to do. She's trying to get the test done so she can assess what his vision is. Right. And I get that. And she's trying to do it as efficiently as possible. She's got a schedule. Clearly she was late, but she's got a schedule to keep. I am trying to settle down a 2 and 3/4 year old, almost 3 year old, so that she can actually settle him. You know, she can actually do the tests, mm-hmm. get him to quiet down because believe it or not, parents often know their kids the best. So I know he needs to take a couple deep breaths and settle down. And so she swatted my arm out of the way. I was very unhappy. And, at some point though, I put
she said, sit down with him, hold him down. And you were like, I need a few minutes, please. I need to calm him down, please.
I didn't say a few minutes. I said, let me try and calm him down.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And
let me
eventually
try to calm him down.
I got him a lollipop because, you know,
he likes a root beer lollipop.
So when he's melting down or getting angry, we try and just, you know, change the narrative. So we're trying to weed him off his passy. So when he's screaming for his passy, we try and distract him to something else. And that's what we did. And eventually got him settled down and we worked together, you know, where we were once enemies and adversaries, we worked together
well,
for the common good.
When I was holding him, you were standing behind me going, I don't like her.
I don't like her.
I'm like,
don't.
You can't like, just like, let's just
guess
try
who's
to
about to get a 1 star on Google.
Get what we need to
guess.
Get out of her. All right.
Spoiler alert. It's her.
Yeah. Well, it was fine. You ended up handling it well, actually, because mm-hmm. you calmed yourself. You didn't tell her off. And we got through the appointment and he has no eye issue. So yeah. I thought you handled it.
Yeah, so we created a level of trauma for our son, trauma for me, all to appease your neuroses.
Well, I think that I do not have neuroses. I think that any parent would want to double check that because mm-hmm. I learned this. I did not know this at the eye doctor, but I said to her, I said, well, I don't believe he has any eye issue because he doesn't run into anything. And he seems like he can see just fine. And she said, well, at this age, they can still have some sort of eye stigmatization mm-hmm. and they don't run into anything. You can't tell.
Okay. Well, look at that.
So
the more you know.
Well, thank God we stayed for the appointment. You were ready to leave. You were ready to walk
away. No, I was not ready to walk away. I was ready to speak my mind to an individual who was lacking bedside manner.
Okay. Well, I'll end the podcast with this because this is the other thing I've noticed about Los Angeles. I actually think here that people respect you when you kind of yell at them a little bit. No, I do. It's like with our IVF clinic. Once I got aggressive with them, then they've gotten it together. Don't you think? I feel like they're very lax here until you go. It's so weird to me. I guess it's a entitled mindset here. But once you throw around your, you're going to do this for me.
Once you go full Karen on them.
Am I wrong? They seem,
I don't know.
Once you spoke up a little bit to her, she seemed like she kind of backed right down. Well, and it was fine.
You know, sometimes you have to flex. You know, show your teeth, whatever it might be. No, I don't know. I have not noticed that. But now that you have brought it up, I will keep my eyes open.
I was trying to think. I feel like there was another example where you did it and they came through. I did it with their IVF clinic. They've come through. Not bad. But I just said, I am extremely frustrated with you all, how you are. This is not acceptable. I'm not moving forward until you do X, Y, or Z. And then they did. They were married. So I don't know.
Maybe they've heard your podcast. And I'm like, wow, we don't want to run afoul of this broad.
I never liked it. I don't want to ever do that. People can have bad days. But then there becomes, I'm no problem, a couple mistakes. But then there comes a point of are you fucking with me and being lazy? Yeah. Let's, you know, there's no excuse. What's going on here?
There you go.
All right.
Nice work.
As always, you can't follow Schman anywhere. But if you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can always email the Sarah Fraser Show at gmail.com.
Send them so we can talk about them.
Bye, Schmano.
Bye.
Love you to all.
Oh,
love you to all. Love you.